I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
My name is Patrick Hester. His name is John Anilio, and you're listening to the Functional Nerds Podcast.
That is Patrick Hester, an author, a blogger, and a podcaster. You can check out his website, atfmb.com, and follow him on Twitter at atfmb. My name is John Anilio. I am a podcaster and a musician and a teacher. You can follow me on Twitter at John Anilio. Today, we are joined by Kate Baker. She is the podcast director and nonfiction editor for Clark's World magazine. She's been privileged to narrate over 350 short stories, poems. This may be an outdated thing, too. It's probably more than that by now. She's been nominated for a Parsec Award and a World Fantasy Award. She won the Hugo Award for Best Semiprozine in 2011 and 2013, the British Fantasy Award for Best Magazine in 2014, and World Fantasy Award for Special Award Non-Professional in 2014. A long time, the wonderfully talented editorial staff at Clark's World Magazine. Welcome, Kate Baker. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. That was a mouthful. That's probably why I don't introduce myself like that at conventions.
What we have to do is we have to get Dave Robeson to do all of our intros, because I don't know if you've ever been on Dave's podcast, but he will introduce you like you are a WWF wrestler. And it makes you feel so good about yourself. You're like, yeah, I did all that stuff. I'm awesome. I am. Dave is like the best, you know, for your self-worth. There's no one better to hang out with than
I need that. And then I need that shirt that you can play your own theme music as you walk into a room. So I'd be like the
Raj,
total
the Raj shirt. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to suggest to Patrick that, you know, because you just, before we got started recording, you had kind of put the camera on some things on your shelf, and I saw the Baker Street thing, and I was just thinking, like, you know, Patrick's got to you know, edit in a little of the Jerry Rafferty Baker Street there. I'm sure I'm the first person who's done this.
So, well, and John, as you know, every year I go to Mile High Con in October. This year it's at over the Halloween weekend, and one of the places that a bunch of us go to get away from the convention at the hotel for a little bit, we walk up the street to the Baker Street Pub.
Nice,
very nice, yeah. But yeah, so Kate, this is a return guest. We're in the middle of a run of guests from our first year of podcasting right now. So we're delighted to have Kate back on.
Super cool. You guys have been around that long. We're all dinosaurs in the internet age at this point, right?
Yeah, we have the podcast faded.
Yes, it's more inertia. You know, we've just been doing it, and, you know, it's just easier to keep doing it than to stop, so we just keep doing it, you know.
Actually, it comes down to one thing, Kate. So far, John's wife hasn't said we have to stop.
Right.
Yeah, she's very supportive of it. She's like, you're happy when you do it, just keep doing it, it's fine.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, no. So it's great. Thank you for saying that. And yeah, we all three of us have been around for quite a while in this space, and it's nice that we're all still doing stuff. So yeah, because, you know, a lot of people dip their toes in and they do it for a year or a couple of years, and then they burn out a little bit, and then you don't see them for a while.
They get a total of like 300 downloads for 1,000 episodes.
Yeah, nobody's listening to me.
And they go, well, I think I'm done. This isn't working out.
Yeah, folks, if you're starting a podcast, especially, don't do it to try to get a ton of downloads or anything. Like, do it because you enjoy doing it, because you will stop doing it then. Like, if you don't really love doing it, then don't really do it then.
You haven't done a whole lot of conventions as a panelist, John, but I know that Kate has, and I always try to. And they almost always put me on the podcasting one, where it's like how to start a podcast. And I don't know, Kate's nodding her head, but like one of the first questions when people are allowed to ask questions is, how do you make money podcasting?
We all just look at each other and sort of laugh a little bit.
Yeah.
Or a lot.
Or a lot, yeah. What I find really interesting is how podcasting overall, I think nowadays, as opposed to when we all started, most people have an idea of what a podcast is. They may not be podcast listeners, but, you know, 5 years ago, you still had to be like, it's kind of like a radio show, but it's, you know, it's on the internet and you put it on your iPod. And
of course, unless you're Wired, right? Where, you know,
yeah.
Did you see that article?
Yes. I was going to say, I don't know if you know this, John, but podcast fiction is finally here.
Yes.
Oh, you know, I did see a little bit about that. Yeah, I know. It's like, really? Because we've been doing it for like 8 years, yeah. 9 years. How long has Clarksville
been doing it? Well, Clarksville's been doing it a little over, I want to say they did it on their 21st issue. Mm-hmm. So we're 10 years. So probably around like year two, I think they first started them.
Who was it wrote the counter article to that where they started listing like all the podcast fiction going back to like Scott Sigler and Myrtle Lafferty? Someone did
that. Oh, yeah.
Was it Tor?
It was T. Morris.
Oh, okay. Yeah. T. Morris. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Just like
he gave listing. Like a whole, yeah, it was a great thing.
Yeah.
So you know, it had kind of gone mainstream a little bit a couple years ago where you have, you know, sort of companies that have podcasts and you have celebrities that were known for something else prior to their podcast that it got into it. But, you know, a lot of us that started back in the day, it was simply I knew how to use the gear a little bit because I'm a musician. So it's like, that seems like something to do. And, you know, a lot of people just kind of went and did their own little things. And Patrick and I joined forces after we had done our own solo podcast for a little while. And I recommend getting a partner. Having a partner helps a lot. It's the reason, because I think if you do it by yourself, it's really hard to sustain.
It is.
It's really hard to sustain if you don't have someone to share the workload with. And as Patrick and I have always often mentioned, at any given time over the years that we've done this, you know, one of us has been down on doing it, but we've never both been down at the same time on doing it. So The other one is always there to talk the other off the ledge, like, nah, let's keep doing it.
And then we change something up and suddenly it becomes all new again.
Yeah, exactly. Well, enough podcast down memory lane. There's lots of other good stuff to talk about what Kate's currently doing and all that. But before we do that, I do want to mention briefly that if you enjoy what we do, and if you enjoy these interviews with people like Kate, consider becoming one of our backers, one of our patrons over at patreon.com/functionalnerds. You can back us. It's a monthly backing, so you could do $1 a month, you could do $5 a month, any amount you'd like. The higher you pledge, the more kind of perks and special things you get. And it really helps us out a lot. And I'd like to take a moment to thank the people that are already backing us. It really means a lot to us. Really, you know, we just joking around the how do you make money podcasting? There's no get rich quick scheme with this.
Unless
you're Tom Merritt, he's loaded. But having an outlet like Patreon really makes a big difference. The money helps because it helps.
We're paying for our hosting, Kate.
Yes, because we could pay for our hosting and all of that. But it also just helps to know that there are people out there that like the show enough that they're willing to take on essentially an extra little monthly bill for themselves, you know, even if it is just $1. It means a lot to us. And I think it means a lot to anybody that does this kind of thing. So if you like the show and you like it, listening to what we do every week, just consider becoming one of our backers over there at Patreon. Now, let's get on to our picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
Patrick, why don't you go first this week?
Well, my pick is going to be themed. Before I say it, I did want to say, you know, I joked about us paying our hosting. We are paying our hosting now. I don't know if people understand. I'm paying for the hosting of the audio files for the SF Signal podcast so that they never go away.
Oh,
so that's awesome job.
So people can still download the SF Signal podcast, even though it's not ongoing anymore. You can still go out there and get those episodes because I took over the hosting on that. It's one of the first things I did when John said he was closing up shop.
This community misses you so much. I just want to throw that in there really quickly.
So I appreciate that. So that's out there. And we are actually, you know, paying our hosting for the websites and the audio files and all that kind of good stuff here. My pick is a theme because of our guest. I'm picking Worldcon.
Ooh, okay.
Nice.
I enjoy Worldcon every year, even with all the bullshit. I enjoy Worldcon every year, even with all the political bullshit. And one of the reasons why I enjoy Worldcon so much is because I get to see people that I don't get to see every day or even every month. It's usually once a year. Great people like the voice of Clark's World, Kate Baker. And every time I say that, it embarrasses the hell out of her.
Yeah, it does.
But yes, Worldcon is a great experience for me. It's a chance to see people that I don't get to see, like Kate, and have some conversations and just kind of hang out. And it's just fun.
It sounds, I mean, one, I have to make it out there. This was the year I kind of could have. I ended up going to Maine the week that WorldCon, which Maine was very nice, and I don't regret that at all. But one year, I got to go. When it's in driving distance of New Jersey, I gotta make it out. Or maybe even if it's just a short flight, I just got to make it out one year. But that's, yeah, I don't know. I should just get going back to next year.
You should plan right now to go.
Isn't it Helsinki next year?
It's Helsinki.
Yeah, probably not going to do Helsinki. What about
Puerto Rico? NASFIC.
Yeah.
Puerto Rico.
Is Puerto Rico the year after that? Is it Helsinki?
No, it's the NASFIC. So.
Oh, okay.
It's the North American.
Oh, that's right.
When WorldCon goes outside the United States, there's always something inside the United States to kind of take over.
Okay, that's cool. That's really cool. Yeah. All right, cool.
Take the wife and kid, make it a family thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if going to Puerto Rico with my family is the best idea. But Maine was a challenge enough.
Starts emailing John's wife.
But that's really cool. That's really cool. Okay. I'm going to pick, my pick is going to be a book by a friend of the show, Chuck Wendig, and that is his latest Star Wars book, Life Debt, Aftermath number 2. I really liked this one a lot. I liked the first book. I think the first, now, as people who are like plugged into our community may know, that book got a drubbing on Amazon because some people in the world are really jerks. That's really what it comes down to.
I loved the way that Chuck handled it, though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Chuck handled it beautifully.
If you, from a marketing standpoint, which I am a marketer by day, if you ever want to know how to deal with trolls, check out Chuck Wendig.
Yeah, exactly. And that book, you know, because there's a few homosexual characters in that book, some people like lost their mind. Of course,
in the Star Wars universe, no.
I know. It's crazy. And two things about that. Number one, I think half of those negative reviews are people that did not read the book, that just heard that and didn't like that. And I know we usually don't get political, but that made me pretty angry. And if you actually read the book, it's shocking how little that really factors into the book.
It's like a mention, isn't it? Like,
yes, I'll tell you what it is. There's a character, a minor character that is like helps raise one of the main characters, who's like his aunt, and his aunt has a wife. So that's mentioned. And then one of the other characters at one point says, you know, when this female character thinks like a male character is coming on to her, and he basically says like, yeah, I'm not interested. That's really the extent of it. There's really not much more than that. So if that makes you uncomfortable, well, I don't know what to tell you. But anyway, what's great about this new book, I think when Aftermath first came out, the first one, that is prior to The Force Awakens coming out. So I imagine there was a lot that Chuck knew that was not allowed to put in that book because he had to let a lot of that stuff be revealed in The Force Awakens. So now with this book coming out after The Force Awakens, he was allowed to run free a lot more. And also his main crew of characters, who were not the main characters from the movies, although they're in it a little bit, in the first book, he's already developed his core group of his characters for these books, and now they interact more with your Han Solo and Princess Leia and everybody. So it's a lot more satisfying than the first book, and really starting to lay groundwork for, I think, what the next movies are going to be, and the TV shows and all that. So I read just about every Star Wars book that comes out, but I love Star Wars and I love Chuck, and I love this book. So Life Debt, Star Wars Aftermath number 2. So
one of the cool things that I saw, I was down in Disney World and they had like a behind the scenes movie of The Force Awakens, and Kathleen Kennedy was on there and she mentioned Chuck by name, and like they threw up a picture of the book and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, somebody in our community is like super famous. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So cool. All right, Kate, what is your pick this week?
All right, I'm going to go on the gaming side, and I'm actually going to say it's been around for a while, but they're actually going to release a downloadable content on September 20th, and it's Destiny. So I play it Xbox One with Neil and Sean from Clark's World Magazine, and we get the stress of the day out by shooting each other and shooting the aliens. So
this was a topic at WorldCon, by the way. They kept talking about
Yeah. Well, we met up with Robert Reed, who was a contributor to the video game. And it was really interesting, you know, getting to know his perspective a little bit and what he did for it. And just the behind the scenes. I love behind the scenes stuff. It's very, very intriguing.
That's why I do too. And we got the opportunity to talk with Jonathan Warner at BioWare. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was so much fun. And we stay in touch and we still talk. And he still will not tell me what the new freaking intellectual property is that he's working on. Damn it. Damn it, Jonathan.
One of the interesting things about the whole thing is like when you're playing a video game, you see the finished product, but you don't see the years and years of development and the voice acting and the programming and, you know, it is just an amazing feat of work. So
it's amazing. I have so many friends in that industry, and to see their Facebook, like their private stuff that they post about some of this when they can, it's just, I don't know if you know that, a couple of years ago on SF Signal, I want to say it was like a military SF thing with James Gates or something. And one of the guys that was on there, we were talking about video games, and I just happened to throw out there that one of my favorite games of all time was a PC based game. And it was the original, Tom Clancy, Ghost Recon, the very first one like that came out. And this one guy was like, huh, yeah, you like that a lot, huh? Yeah, okay. He wrote the freaking thing.
Really?
And he sent me one of his last original copies of it signed and some other swag from it. What? He like sent it all to me. He's like, after, he's like, what's your address? I want to send you something. I'm like, okay. I was like, oh my God, this is so cool.
So we were earlier talking about, you know, how do you make money in podcasting? Really, what podcasting does allow you to do if you do a lot of interviews is you do get some cool stuff sent to you. Like, I will say that is, you know, between books and some video games now and then and things like that, there are some nice things that show up at your door.
I need to do that side. I don't get those.
Yeah, so you and your artsy fiction world, doing your thing. I'm going to start selling
my listeners. Send me stuff.
Yeah. Oh, those giant rockets that sit on the shelf.
I know. That is probably the best thing I've ever been.
So one of the questions I had for you, Kate, John was looking at upgrading to a new video game system from his Nintendo NES.
It's a Wii.
So he was looking at PlayStation or Xbox, and it sounds like you play Xbox One.
Yeah, but the only reason I have an Xbox One is because Neil and Sean started playing Destiny before I got, and I wanted in, so I got one. But from what I've heard, even though Microsoft and Bungie are somewhat, you know, tied together, there's a lot more perks for PlayStation players. Yeah.
All right. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a, you know, my son hasn't gone full gamer yet, you know, and he's pretty tied into like the stuff that he does like all the like Nintendo kind of characters. So unfortunately, you don't see the Nintendo characters in things outside of the Nintendo.
Super Mario is coming to iPhone.
Yes, I did see that, and I was going to say about them. You know, it's hilarious. Here's a fun thing to do. Look up Mario in the App Store on your phone, and you see all of these
copycats.
Basically, yeah, all these like Mario ripoffs where it's like, you know, Markio, you know, or some ridiculous thing. It's just Super Mario Brothers with like a leprechaun instead of
another game that I know that Kate plays is the Pokemon Go.
Yes.
And I don't know if you guys heard this, but when that game launched, Nintendo stock went through the roof because people thought it was Nintendo.
Yeah. Game. And then they were like, nope. And it tanked.
And now because of the Mario game, Nintendo stock is up again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, while we're on the topic, like, what do you guys think of, if you don't mind talking about this, you know, they announced the iPhone 7 this past week. By the time this airs, the announcement will have been out for a few weeks. But what are your thoughts about the iPhone 7? I'm due for a new phone, and I am an iPhone user. And you know, the big news is that there's no headphone jack on it anymore.
It's going to be
your Lightning connector. and that they are also introducing. So you'll get like normal earbuds, but that will connect through the Lightning port. But they're also making available the what they're called the AirPods, which are the Bluetooth headphones, which look like your earbuds that they cut the cords off of. Basically, they're just like two little things sticking out. And then I think there are several models of the Beats headphones, which are Bluetooth as well, or something very much like Bluetooth. There might be some sort of proprietary technology that they're using with it for now too. But you know, what do you guys think about it? Kate, I don't know if you're up on all that news. Do you have any thoughts?
I'm an iPhone user. I was on Verizon and I waited and waited and waited until they actually started offering it. And I was following the 7 because I'm on the 6. So I was on the 4 and then the 5 and the 6 and the 7. I usually upgrade when they come out. But I don't know. I'm sort of mixed about it because taking away the headphone jack, I mean, it's all licensing, obviously. You know, they're gonna have companies pay to license that technology so that they can create their own headphones, and they're gonna make it, you know, kind of expensive. And I can see it as a business power play, but I don't know. Part of me really wants to upgrade just to see, and then part of me is like, well, maybe I will sort of wait and see if they end up putting it back due to public outcry. I don't think they will because. No. This makes it waterproof, I believe, which is what
this isn't what makes
they've been
it
trying to do.
I don't think
it's the home button, but yeah. I mean, it was a combination of things, but it's just very interesting, and I probably will upgrade. But again, I'm curious to see if they bow to any sort of public pressure.
Patrick, what are your thoughts on this?
I posted a video on Facebook about this that was kind of funny. It was the College Humor spoof of the launch where they basically were joking about it. Because apparently you can still use your wired headphones. You just have to now buy a dongle that plugs into your Lightning jack. However, you can't be charging your phone and listening at the same time.
Right. Well, I also heard there was an audio quality issue too, because the dongle actually doesn't give you the full sound that you would get with the actual Apple iPhones.
So I think part of the problem is that, as Kate said, this is a licensing thing, and they're going to try to come out with a bunch of new products. So it's not just replacing your phone. Now you have to replace a lot of things. You have to, if you use that export or that port with your stereo, for example, that no longer works. So now you have to get a new stereo in your car. Mm-hmm. If you use that with some sort of stereo or something in your house, that no longer is going to work. If you try to plug into, like a lot of places have. They have the port on the television, so you can plug your phone in and listen to it on the stereo there. That no longer works. You'll have to get a new TV. You'll have to get a new component stereo system. You'll have to get a new everything. Like, nothing is going to work with that anymore. So it's not just purchasing a new phone. It's everything that you interact your phone with is not going to work now.
Well, that happened on the... was it the 4 or the 5?
But they changed
the cord. But that also had a big, had to buy adapters for things, and you had to change a whole bunch of stuff out. So it seems like that's the way that they're going to do stuff.
So my old stereo in the car did not work with the phone at all. So I recently, like before the Worldcon trip, because I wanted to be able to have my phone sync with the stereo for the trip, I bought a new stereo that supports Bluetooth. So I was able to connect. So I'm kind of good there if I wanted to be. However, like at my work, I use wired headphones. I plug them into the computer at work. So I carry one set of headphones with me that I plug into my phone at lunch or that I plug into my computer at work and so on and so forth. That's all going to change now too. That's going to be a pain. It's a lot of expense to upgrade. So I'm kind of thinking that it's going to come back. I really do.
I think a lot of that will have to do with how much people like the actual phone. If the phone works really well, has a couple of new things that people really like, if the waterproof thing is legit, if it just really is silky smooth in every way, then I think people will just deal with all of the complaints that are already coming out about the loss of the jack. And let us not forget, because I heard, and if you kind of keep up on this stuff, when Apple bought Beats, which is probably 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whenever it was when they bought Beats, that was like amongst the first things that were mentioned in a lot of the articles that I read, was that they bought Beats because Beats is the biggest brand in headphones other than, you know, Apple having their, you know, their earbuds, their regular earbuds. So Apple wanted to buy them, and they got the Beats music service, and they got a lot for buying Beats. But they, one of the reasons was that they knew that they were going to this move where they were going to try to get rid of the headphone jack and put it into the Lightning port. So they wanted to get the biggest, you know, sort of sexiest name in headphones and be like, and these have the Lightning port. Mm-hmm. See, the headphones you like, they work with our iPhone. So I think it was a smart move if they knew they were going down this path. And this is what Apple does. They make a decision on how they want their products to work in terms of their connections and what kind of drives and what kind of, you know, whether it's a USB or a FireWire. Although FireWire they had, and now I guess they did. The new computers don't have a FireWire drive, do they? I think they kind of got, or a FireWire port anymore.
They do the Lightning.
Lightning.
Yeah.
Okay, so they do that now too. So they make a decision and they usually go ahead with it. I don't know if they've ever gone backwards with anything. Now this could be because this port has been around for a long, 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 long time. This goes back to, you know, your Walkmans. Maybe even before that. But it's, so if you go Walkmans, you're talking late 80s for this thing. So, you know, maybe it's a good thing. You know, maybe it helps them, you know, design a put other things in the phone. I know there's like two cameras in the phone in the front, and that's
it's
a thing.
It's just all the peripherals, John. It's everything else that you buy that interacts with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know. I probably will upgrade because I have an iPhone 5 and I'm overdue to get a new phone.
So now you'll have to have two sets of headphones, one for your Roku player and one for your iPhone.
That's okay. I'll hold on to the ones that I got. But you're right. Yeah, that's something that I've had that you are correct about, is that, and that'll be a thing too. And then eventually, like, Roku will be where it'll be over Bluetooth with the headphones eventually anyway.
They won't, because it'll be a licensing thing.
That's true too. Yeah.
If they can save money, they're not going to. That's my whole point. Like, everybody else doesn't have to do this.
Oh no. And I don't think they're going to, because the Lightning port is theirs, right? That's not that doesn't appear on other devices, right?
No. So here's my question. Here's my question for Kate. What secret, super secret projects from Clark's world that no one is supposed to know about, can you tell us about right now? Go.
No comment.
Oh, really? That's it?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Dang it.
Actually, you know, I don't think that there really are any super secret projects. We're pretty open with what we want to do with the podcast and with the magazine itself. And it's usually the base level of support. Like, if it continues to grow, then we can continue to grow. So it's all based upon that, you know, I'm going to throw a corporate word out there, synergy. Mm-hmm. But it's a very true statement. So we started off with a couple stories and one podcast, and then we added nonfiction, or maybe it was the other way around, but we've continued to grow throughout, you know, the 10 years that we've been around. And that's thanks to the rise in listeners and readers.
Now, with, you know, we've talked about our Patreon, and mm-hmm. I know Clark's World has a couple of different ways that they get out into the world. So what are some of those ways that, you know, the cost of making Clark's World, how does that get covered?
So we originally started off with a donation system. Neil has this really cool thing where if you donate a certain amount of money, you become, you know, Clark's World royalty. You become a part of the census. Mm-hmm. Then we kickstarted the Chinese translation project, which has been hugely successful. I think Neil was actually on Chinese television for America last night talking about that whole thing, which was a whole experience in itself. And then we jumped on board. I think Patreon actually contacted us and said, would we be interested in starting out their new service? So Neil jumped on that one. And then we just take regular donations and subscriptions. We're Amazon and Waitlist Books. So Neil is very, he's diversified a lot of what we do. You have one of those cars that I do.
I heard that too, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. 10:30 and like 2 o'clock in the afternoon every day. He tends to diversify a lot of how we bring our income in. And even if people can't support financially, we ask them to spread the word of the magazine, because who knows, maybe that one person that, you know, you've told over Twitter then has the capability to throw a couple bucks our way. So
yeah, I mean, and that's the thing with all this stuff. It's always sort of just keeping your eyes out for how you can spread the word a little bit. And mm-hmm. and I think, you know, Clark's World, it's something we've talked about a million times. Consistency, you know, it's like yeah. it's there and it's always coming out, and it's never long gaps in between when it comes out. And I think that makes a big difference to people because.
Well, Neil has never missed an issue on the first. The podcast has sort of been, you know, spotty here and there, but that's because, you know, at the beginning of this show, you talked about having somebody as a backup, and I don't have that. Sometimes I reach out and have people read a couple stories, but I'm still doing all the editing work and all the other stuff on the back end. And, you know, when life gets in the way, life gets in the way. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm very grateful that we have a community of people who are patient. We do get out everything within that month, and, you know, we're trying to get back on schedule, but yeah, consistency is definitely key.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We missed a couple of weeks and suddenly we started getting things on Twitter. Like, is everything okay?
People get worried.
Yeah. Well, because that we brag about that, or I brag about it all the time. It's like, we're consistent. Burp, burp, beep, bop, bop, bop. And then we missed three
we had the perfect weeks. Storm because of WorldCon, John getting sick and stuff. And suddenly we were dark for a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. Because usually because we batch record, even if we have these little kind of things where it's a con or someone being ill or whatever, usually we have one or two in the can that can kind of fill in that week. And it was just where we did not have any surplus, and then all this stuff hit, and then it was mm-hmm. like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah, no, it sucks when life gets in the way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So, but we're back.
Yay!
So, and John, you're talking about the success of Clark's World, and I know that Neil is keeping one thing in his back pocket for the future. Like, when he really wants to cash in and make a ton of money, he's going to launch that issue where it's all talking cats.
I don't know where you've heard this rumor.
I mess with him on this because it's in his guidelines, his submission guidelines say no talking cats.
Just add zombies in there. I think you'll be fine.
No talking cats.
Well, Kate, because I know that in addition to doing all the podcasting that you do, a lot of other creative work and your own kind of writing and things like that. So,
I just saw that you submitted to several dozen thousand markets.
I just submitted to one. I've got several thousand different short stories in the works and in my brain. I had my first short story accepted 6 years ago by Matthew Kressel, which is why I was on the show in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Tara LeMay asked me, where's my writing? And I said, what writing? And she's like, well, you need to start again. And I said, okay. So I did. And I finished a story right in time mm-hmm. for WorldCon, and I submitted it, and it quickly got rejected. And I submitted it again to somewhere else. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but it's, you know, peer pressure is a powerful thing.
It's an amazing thing, yes.
You go to a con and you hang out with a bunch of writers, and they're just like, what's up with you? Why aren't you doing this?
I felt
bad. Why aren't you suffering with us?
I felt bad for John O'Neill and John Joseph Adams because they were surrounded by writers, and John O'Neill said something like, what do you write? And like every single person that he pointed to had their log line on their book, right? Like, oh, it's blah, 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 blah. And he just looked at him. He's like, wow, you said that really fast. What about you? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, okay. What about you? Blah, 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 blah. And it's like everybody knew exactly what they were writing and exactly what their books mm-hmm. were about. And he's just like, do you practice this shit?
You have to practice that stuff.
It's called an elevator pitch, Patrick.
Yes. It is, yes.
Dude, I'm going to go to cons. I'm going to just make up a little story about an elevator, and I'm going to like tell it.
Well,
and
I go to Pikes Peak Writers Conference every year. So that, you know, that's one of the things that they teach there. It's like, you have to have your elevator pitch. You have to have your log line. You have to be able to know it, because you never know when someone important is going to ask you, oh, well, what is it that you write? Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it's also, as I believe Patrick mentioned on a previous episode, where you have to strike that balance of having your elevator pitch and making yourself known and not being annoying.
Yeah, you don't want to know it's
a tough balance, but
you don't want to walk up to someone and say, hi, my name is Patrick. By the way, I know that you publish books at blah, 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 blah. I happen to have one that you kind of like. You know, you never do that. You just kind of walk up and say, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, just hang. Just be cool.
Yeah, just build the relationships before you start selling.
Exactly.
Be cool. Be cool, everybody. Yeah. That's what I can say. Just be cool. Hang out. It's fine. All right. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time today. Once again, Kate Baker, thank you for being on the show. And it's been too long. We'll have to have you on again sooner than like 6 years.
Yeah, that's, that'd be awesome. Yeah, anytime, guys.
Yeah. But once again, it's Kate Baker is on Twitter at Kate_Baker. And I think your website, I think on Twitter it says katebaker.net, but then yes, when you go to your website, it says
it's
something.
It's a redirect. Like, yeah, yeah, it's anadream.com, but I'm not going to spell it out.
Okay, so just follow on Twitter and you can get to all of our other stuff that way. And of course, Clark's World.
Clark's World, subscribe to the podcast so you get that.
Please do.
Yes. And Kate, any other cons that you're going to be at upcoming?
I'm going to be at Cap Clave. I believe that's October 6th.
All right, cool.
That's in Maryland.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Is that near DC? Is that
kind of in the I think area? I want to say it's like Gaithersburg, but I'm totally probably wrong.
Yeah,
about.
That's always one that's on my radar and I never go to.
It's really cool.
That's what I have to go to. All right, cool. So check Kate and all of the things that she does out. Once again, for us, if you enjoy what we do, consider becoming one of our patrons over at patreon.com/functionalnerds. Patrick, anything that you would like to let our listeners know?
Just to remind people, I'm going to be at Mile High Con at the end of October, so come check us out there. We have like 30 seconds left. Kate, do you want to tell us the plot of Guardians of the Galaxy?
No, I don't. I will just say that Chris Pratt is an amazing person, and if you ever get a chance to meet him, then totally do it.
John, I saw something that was amazing. Someone tweeted Chris Pratt and asked him, what was it like meeting Kate Baker?
You know, I wish he'd answered it.
And I thought that was good. That was really, really good.
It was pretty cool. Yeah.
He's a very cool dude. I loved when he was out promoting that. Like, I'm like, that dude is cool. Well,
I like that he and Captain America.
Chris Evans.
They keep their costumes and they go to children's hospitals and they spread joy and cheer to kids who really, really need it.
Awesome. Very cool. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for joining us this week and we will see you next time.
Thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?